Welcome to First 30, your guide to starting your job right. Brought to you by Career Protocol. Go to careerprotocol.com to download our latest, greatest free career content. There's always something new, so come by and say hi.
And Forte Foundation. The Forte Foundation is a nonprofit consortium of leading companies and top business schools working together to launch women into fulfilling, significant careers through access to business education, opportunity, and a community of successful women.
Hi, I'm Angela Guido.
And I'm Beth Connolly, and we're here to talk about starting your job right. As you may know, the first 30 days can make or break your success in a company, so we're talking you through our top tips for early success. This stuff is also really useful if you're doing a summer internship, because you don't have a lot of time to impress your coworkers, so they'll invite you back full time.
And it's a contest, because contests are fun. If you like my tip best, you can vote for me at careerprotocol.com/vote.
But don't vote for Angela, because if I win, then she has to buy me dinner.
And if I win, Beth has to buy me dinner.
Well, tally up the votes each week, and whoever wins 2 out of 3 weeks gets a free, delicious dinner. And since we're here in Florence, Italy, you know it's going to be good. We'll be sure to share pictures on our Instagram.
And we'll tell you how to vote at the end, hopefully for me.
No, for me. Now it's time for episode one. It's worth more than money.
Today we're talking about climbing a steep learning curve. One of the biggest fears I think we all face in life is fear of the unknown. And as you can imagine, in a new job, you're facing so many unknowns. You're working with a new group of people, with a new set of processes, a whole different culture, a new desk, a new computer perhaps, and a whole lot of information that you need to learn pretty quickly to be able to do your job well. So we wanted to start with knowledge. We wanted to start with climbing a steep learning curve, because if you're like us, it's the scariest thing about starting a new job. So Beth, tell us a little bit about yourself and your history with new jobs. And then I'm going to ask you for your first tip.
All right. Well, looking back at my work history, I realized that I've actually started a baker's dozen of new jobs. And that's not even including freelance, part-time, or campus jobs.
So truly, truly an expert about new jobs.
It is including summer internships during school. And I've also hired and supervised a lot of staff members during my career. So I've watched other people and myself succeed and fail during the first 30 days on the job. I mean, I really wish I had a resource like what we're producing right now to just listen to and help guide me and get ready for that early time, because it can be really stressful when you're thinking about diving into a new experience for all of the reasons that you mentioned. At the same time, I've always found it to be one of the most exciting things and the most exciting times of any job, because there's so many opportunities and there's so much possibility to really shape the impact that you're going to have and set yourself up for a successful time in that role and at that company. So I'm really excited to dig into these conversations.
You know, as you were talking, I was really curious, what's your biggest first job horror story? I know it's a little off topic, but I think you, I'm sure you have a great one that relates to this topic. So
I actually do. So during my first 30 days at one of my jobs, during the first 3 days, I developed like hives all over my body.
No.
Yeah, and it was a very a very stressful job.
Was it like allergy to the environment or like?
I believe that it was the chair, the fabric on the chair that I was sitting on, and I had to like get antihistamines and like go to an outpatient clinic to resolve that situation. And it was like the kind of job where I was like working from 9 a.m. to like 8 p.m. during my first week, and I was just sitting in that chair. And I was so itchy, and like I just remember like saying to one of my coworkers on this like day three, like, yeah, I got home last night and my whole body is covered in itchy red sores. And he was just like, I really didn't need to know that.
But it was, we're gonna about relationship building in the third installation, and I think there's a lesson here.
And that same job, around week three, I developed an eye condition where I actually got like a torn retina from, or something like less severe than that, from adjusting from using PC to Macs, because I think the Mac screens are so much brighter, and if you change over to that, it can be really harsh on your eyes.
Wow.
So I had to, again, go to an outpatient clinic and get special eye drops. And again, I just remember, like, because it was a new job, I didn't want to call out sick. So I went to work, and my eyes were actually so red and swollen that they were, like, getting really puffy and closing. And my boss was like, you need to take care of that. Like, you need to not come to work when you are sick. Just go.
Oh, my goodness.
And, yeah, I got some eye drops, and it cleared up in a couple days.
How long did that job last?
A year.
A whole year. Yeah. Wow.
Wasn't my favorite one.
I think some good signs that one wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, it was pretty, I think it was pretty much my body telling me, like, get out of here.
Yeah, very important to listen to your intuition and to your body. Not the tip of the day, though.
No.
Not the tip of the day, though. So I'm eager to hear your tips. So, Beth, what's okay. your number one tip for getting up to speed quickly in a new job and making the most of the learning opportunity?
My number one tip for this topic is to create a defined list of learning objectives before you even start the job. So think about listing things that you really want to learn during the job or internship, and think about what's most going to benefit you in the long term and where there are some gaps in your knowledge that you need to fill in. So those could, I think they should be as specific as possible, and they can range from macro to micro. So an example of a micro one would be like learning to use a specific software like Excel or Salesforce, or a specific skill like writing a sales email or how to manage clients. And then a more macro level example could be finding out, like, what's a typical path to career advancement in this field, or what are the top qualities that this company looks for in their entry-level hires? What are the best organizations to join to network within this industry? And then...
I'm making a face because that's a really good tip. I'm thinking I'm maybe going to lose this one. Keep going, Beth. Keep going. You're on a roll here. This is a great tip.
Okay. So then you write these all down before the job starts. Then within the first 1 to 3 weeks, like, revisit them to see if you want to maybe update, modify them based on what you know about the job now and the new environment and the people you're working with. And then memorize them. So as the job goes forward, they're always in the top of your mind, and you're kind of keeping tabs on whether you're proceeding toward meeting them. And that can be helpful if you come to a specific point in the job where you're given a choice on what you're going to work on. And if you're not sure which choice would best meet your learning objectives, I think it's a great idea to just be upfront with your supervisor and say, I really wanted to learn X during this role. Which project do you think is going to get me there? And I feel like that will really impress your supervisor, because they're going to say, this person is really invested in their own learning. They're engaged in their own career development. She's a winner. Yeah, they're going to respect that, the fact that you're asking for a little bit of something from them.
Absolutely. I agree. It's always important to have kind of your own stake, your own skin in the game in any job that you do, because it makes it more meaningful for you, but it also makes it more meaningful for them, because people want to know that you're growing and learning. And if you take ownership of that, like you're suggesting, I really do think it conveys a level of confidence and professionalism that's surprising. Like, being a little selfish can be a really good idea. Absolutely. So speaking of impressing supervisors, what were your top three learning objectives for working with Career Protocol?
Good question, Angela.
You had to know this was coming.
Yeah, had to know. Let's see. So my background is in marketing, and one thing that I wanted to learn out of this experience was just new softwares and services. And I was aware that you at Career Protocol use some products and services related to online marketing that I had not had exposure and experience to before. So that was definitely a number one. And that was a specific one with very specific services that I wanted to learn to use and master. Number two, I was working in nonprofit marketing before. I wanted to get back into for-profit marketing where I had been in the early part of my career. And I thought that would be this would be a great opportunity for me to do that prior to business school. And number three, I've always worked with smaller organizations, but I have never really worked with a startup to the extent that Career Protocol is a startup. And I really wanted to be able to have that experience and put my creativity to work and kind of grow through the challenges and opportunities that we have here.
Fantastic. Yeah. I would say startup life is definitely a little bit different from working in a big company. And this was a question that I wanted to ask you. If you think about the difference between working in a small startup, like a small company, newer, younger, leaner, less established versus a bigger, more established organization, can you give any guidance on learning objectives that might fit each of those environments? Like how should we be thinking about learning objectives if we're going to go work for a startup versus a bigger company?
In a startup environment, it's a very fast pace. You're definitely going to be expected to learn things quickly. And I think there may be a little bit more flexibility on what's actually on your plate and what you're working on, because there's more agility, work is divided up, and you might be wearing a bunch of different hats from day one. So in that case, you could be have a little bit more say in what you're going to work on. In a bigger, more established, hierarchical organization, there may be more limitations because there may be a very prefixed job description. So I think in that situation, you want to still be specific about what you want to learn, but also be engaged in a dialogue with your supervisor about, like, how can we make this happen? And it might take a little bit longer if there's something you want to learn that's far outside of what they have preset for that role.
Makes a lot of sense. I think a big organization tends to bring with it more resources for your development.
Right, exactly.
Right? Whereas a startup, it's a little bit Wild West. You have to kind of make sure that the people you're working with are paying attention to what you want to learn.
Yeah.
And that brings with it opportunities, like you say, but also the burden more on you to find your path. Whereas in a bigger organization, you may not necessarily find a perfect match for your learning objectives, but you will find lots of support and resources and mentors and people who can, you know, teach you new processes and the firm way of doing things. And so each one, I think, has its drawbacks and advantages. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Cool. I don't have any more specific questions for you.
Okay. It's time to move on to your tip.
Yeah, I guess it is.
If you think you can top that one.
Well, I'm not going to hold my breath, but I'll give it all I've got.
Knowledge really counts. And we've got loads of it over at Career Protocol. Come see how much awesome free career content we've got. Just go to careerprotocol.com/vote and sign up for our insiders list today.
All right, lay it on me. What do you have?
Okay, so I actually have two tips. I'm gonna submit to you my top tip, and I'll tell you which one that is, so you know exactly what you're voting on. But I actually realized I had two things that I needed to say on this subject, and they both stem from a story of mine from my own employment history. So I want to tell you about my early days at the Boston Consulting Group. So this was post MBA. I had had about 5 years under my belt. I had an MBA. You know, I had confidence in some areas and not a lot of confidence in other areas, but there I was. And it was a project that I did early on, and we were being tasked to help a pharmaceutical company decide if it should acquire a small startup company that had a new technology that could benefit it. And it was a very intense project. We only had 3 weeks to answer this question. We didn't have any information. We had to go out to the market and just get really creative about how to answer this question in a sound way that the CFO could really take action on. And it was the kind of project that I had never done before. So I did one thing really well on this project, and I did one thing really poorly on this project. So the thing I did really well is I said yes. When they offered me the chance to do this project, I knew it was going to be stressful. I knew it was way over my head. I knew I was going to have to learn a lot fast. And so even though I was frankly terrified at that possibility, also my manager on this project was a former Navy SEAL, like a tough guy, turned out to be actually the best manager I've ever had in my career. But there was a lot about the project going in that was scary. And I said yes. So that's kind of my first tip. It's not my number one tip. But my first tip for you is when you're in a new job, say yes. The early part of your career is about the yes. Later on, when you have competing priorities, when you have a family, when you've been in your career for many years and you've built a reputation for yourself, that's when you need to start to learn how to say no. But in the early days of your career, it's really about jumping at opportunities. And I think this really echoes, Beth, a lot of what you said. You know, it's about stepping in there, stepping up, and knowing when it's time to jump in. So say yes to opportunities. If someone offers you something that's challenging or that scares you a little bit or that you have no idea how you're going to do it, like I had no idea how I was going to do that project, just say yes and then work hard to figure it out. It's going to serve you really well as you go down the line. So that part went pretty well. But then I got into the middle of the project and I was so excited to figure it out and do it right that I basically locked myself away for a whole week trying to figure out how to build this really sophisticated market model to predict the entire market size of this niche little pharmaceutical product that didn't yet exist. And when I finally brought it back to my manager, the Navy SEAL, I realized that I had made several really critical mistakes in how I put the model together. Importantly, I didn't put it together in a way that someone else could easily understand. And so a week had passed and we had basically burned that week. My model wasn't wrong. It just wasn't really usable by other people. And that was something that I didn't know was important because this whole area was new to me. So the mistake I made here was not enlisting the guidance and support of my manager from the very beginning. So this is my number one tip. As you're starting a new job, as you're seeking to get smart fast and to move up the learning curve, use your manager, use your supervisor, and use your colleagues. Get their input. It doesn't mean that you should, you know, ask them broad questions like, what should I do? Or I've never built a model before. Tell me how to build a model. They're not going to respect that because they want you to take ownership of the projects that you're working on. But for example, a much better way to have approached my project would have been to lock myself in my office for one day, put together a hypothetical model, bring it to my manager and say, here's what I'm thinking. Here are the pieces. What do you think? And then get his input, go back and refine it and repeat that process. And so this really relates to, you know, a lot of what Beth was saying is about the people that you're working with is, you know, they're going to be interested in your success. Of course, they want you to succeed because if you fail in a way, they fail. So people around you want to support you, but you have to give them the opportunity. So my number one tip is to really enlist the support of the people around you early and often as you're learning the ropes of the new job, as you're learning your tasks. And as you're learning how to do your job more efficiently. So take a start, put a stake in the ground, and then get feedback quickly and often. And it'll reduce the anxiety about feedback because you'll be getting it quickly, you'll be getting it often, you'll become much more comfortable with getting feedback, but you're also going to learn that much faster and you're not going to make the mistake that I made, which is wasting a whole week of everybody's time when we really could have done it in a much smarter way. So that's my number one tip.
I like that. I have a couple things to add, actually. I think as a young person or someone starting out in the career, in your career, it's like can be a little bit challenging to walk that line between like asking for help and asking for feedback versus being needy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, and as a manager, I've seen people do both. Mm. I've seen people come across as just super competent because they ask the right questions at the right time. Mm-hmm. And then people who are just come across as needy and they're basically just draining my time and I feel like I'm babysitting them. And do you have any like advice for how someone could navigate that when they're starting out and they're not really sure? Because I think a lot of people, like, and I in my career might sit in front of a project and be like, spend half an hour being like, can I ask this question?
Yeah.
And you might even spend that hour or half hour trying to figure it out on your own and getting nowhere. And then you're even feeling worse because now you're like, now I've spent half an hour trying to figure it out.
Right.
Should I spend more time trying to figure this out?
Right.
Should I ask the boss? Should I ask a peer who maybe could help me but maybe couldn't? I don't really want to bother them either. Everyone's busy. How
yeah,
do you deal with
I
that?
I can totally relate to this anxiety. It's a really good question. So I think the first thing that I would say, and this is so important, is that there are no dumb questions on day one. So we had this kind of like unspoken rule, and sometimes it was even spoken, in particular at BCG. And if you know anything about management consulting, you know that in general that job is all about trying to be the smartest person in the room, even when you don't know as much as everyone else in the room. So part of what makes you successful as a consultant is being able to know what you know and know what you don't know, and then ask really smart mm-hmm. questions that get you closer to knowing everything. So in week one, it's like there are no dumb questions in week one. Now is the time to ask any questions you can think of. So on that medical device project, for example, like if you don't know what cardiac surgery is, that's not a dumb question today. But if you don't ask it today, I mean, we all kind of know what cardiac surgery is. But my point is, even that's not right. a dumb question right. if you ask it in the beginning. If you hold on to it and 2 weeks into the project, you say, wait, what's cardiac surgery? Now you've destroyed my trust in you because yeah. I'm thinking, okay, whoa, this person doesn't even know what open heart surgery is. And this whole project is about open heart surgery. That's so we true. Have a problem. So the first rule is ask questions early and don't worry about asking a dumb question yeah. on day one or day two or day
be
three.
Be really honest about what you don't know.
Yeah, be really honest about what you yeah, don't know, and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to look stupid in the beginning. In the beginning, mm-hmm. don't be afraid to look stupid because you will look more confident and more courageous for right. asking a question even if you think it's dumb. So that's the right. thing.
And people will respect that you're putting in the effort to try to understand
exactly.
something. Exactly. They know it's something new that you're being presented with.
Very rarely in your career are you hired for what you know. Right. Much later in your yeah. career, you will be expected to know things. But early in your career, and I mean early, like even in the first 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, you're not really being hired for what you know. You're being hired for your potential. And that's your potential to learn and to figure things out. So so people who are focused on maximizing their potential and really making a contribution will ask questions even if they think they're dumb. So so that's really fine. Just try to do your best to ask as many of them in the beginning as you can. So any question that comes to you in the early days of a new project or a new job, go ahead and ask them then and don't hold on to them. But, you know, you may have some questions that occur to you later. I understand you won't think of them all on day one. That's reality. So my second piece of advice related to this is to always bring your manager something. Give before you ask. This is a good mantra to have. Give before you ask. So if you just spent 30 minutes trying to figure out this macro in PowerPoint and you can't figure it out, then go to your manager and say, I'm trying to figure out this macro. I've been beating my head against the wall for 30 minutes. I'm guessing you probably can tell me the answer in 30 seconds. So let me show you what I did. And then, you know, I put tab X into whole Y, and this is what happened. Do you have a quick fix for this? And if not, is there a resource that I can look at to solve it? So again, show proactivity, show ownership. Show them, you know, show what you've tried to do and then make it easy for them to give the input.
What's the mantra again?
Give before you ask.
That's so good.
It's a good one, right?
Like that crystallizes like everything. Every time I felt frustrated and wasn't sure if I should ask, and then every time as a manager where someone was just like, Beth, how do I do this? And I was like, start by Googling it because you have invested zero time in yourself in figuring it out.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have other stuff to do here.
I have other things to Google, so you Google that, yeah, and I'll Google my things, and we'll all get along well.
Exactly.
Excellent.
Yeah. And then this one other comment on what you said is I feel like it's so great from a manager's perspective if the employee asks for feedback ASAP. And just because then the employee is establishing the tone for the relationship and establishing that they're open to feedback, they want to grow, they're not going to get defensive, and they're not going to take offense, and it's not going to be a relationship where the manager has to deal with that kind of emotional immaturity that so many people actually exhibit, mm-hmm, when they're getting feedback on their work.
It's true. It's really important to have trust, have the trust of people around you. And ironically, mm-hmm, so much of earning that trust happens in those tricky moments.
Yeah.
Where you're getting feedback, right, where, right, you're asking questions. We learn a lot more about people when they struggle than, mm-hmm, we do when, yeah, they're winning. So, yeah, this is also a really, true, important tip to upward manage, is to, mm-hmm, you know, to be good at asking those questions and getting feedback.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's almost easier to conceptually understand than it is to activate, because I can conceptually understand, like, yes, if I'm open to feedback, then my manager is going to give me more feedback, and then I'm going to implement it, and then I'm going to get much better at what I do. But I think in the moment when you're receiving the feedback, you can get kind of like lock up, or get really like, feel like, oh no, I'm a terrible person, I'm not good at this. It just, there's like this whole series of emotional reactions you can have.
That's very true. I mean, there's, I don't think there's very much that we human beings hate more than being evaluated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I teach this stuff, and I, you know, I sometimes still bristle at feedback. I think the best way to survive a moment like that is to really just focus on the fact that you have the courage to learn. And if you can just bring yourself back to that awareness that you have the courage to challenge yourself, and you have the courage to try things that you're not perfect at, and then you have the courage to ask someone to tell you where you suck. Right. Even when you're hearing, yeah, that you screwed something up, you can at least hold on to that, and you can still be proud in that moment that you tried, that you did it. You weren't a couch potato. You got out there and you, yeah, did something. And, you know, there are those tough moments for sure. And in the first 30 days, hopefully you will have one or two of those moments where you have, right, to confront a weakness, or you have to confront a challenge, because that's what kind of lights the fire for you to keep going. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, that's what I would, that would be my advice, is just hold on to your appreciation of your own courage and proactivity. Yeah.
That's good advice.
Yeah. All right. Well, did you cover everything on your notes?
I think so,
I covered everything on my notes.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah. Okay.
Should we do a quick recap?
Yeah, that's a really good idea, Beth. we said we would do that, and then we forgot. Okay.
Okay. So recapping, my top tip was to create a defined list of learning objectives before you start the job. Revisit them within the first 1 to 3 weeks. Memorize them and keep them top of mind throughout your time at the firm. And come back to them when you're confronted with an option for which project to work on.
And that perfectly dovetails with my top tip, which is to enlist the support of the people around you in your growth, and in particular, your manager and your supervisor. Give them the chance to engage on what you're doing early and often, and make sure that they have the chance to direct you on the right course as you're learning new things.
Great. Well, I think it's time for our listeners to head over to careerprotocol.com/vote and vote for me. So please do that, everyone, right now, because I'm already thinking about...
Or me. You could also vote for me. That's also an option. There will be two options on that page. One option will be Beth, and the other option will be Angela. So pick your favorite tip, whether it was established learning objectives or enlist the support of people around you in your growth. And as a thanks for voting, we'll send you a summary of our top tips for today and a couple of extra little goodies in there. And
don't forget to check us out
on
Instagram. We're at Career Protocol. And you can always head to careerprotocol.com and just see what's new on our site.
Beth is just past the 30 days of her new job here at Career Protocol as our community director, and she's doing an amazing job, as you can see. All right, so yeah, definitely check out careerprotocol.com for timeless wisdom and bright ideas about your career. Time. Next time, we will be talking about collaboration in a new job. Because collaboration makes the world go round. You may have noticed that very little happens when you're standing alone in your room. We need others, and we need to play well with others. It's kind of hard to do sometimes when you're in a new environment. So that's what we're going to talk about next time. And we'll see you soon.
See you then.
Enjoy your first 30.